Give you, at this time, I will introduce our second speaker.
Bach Creek
is here.
All right.
Hey, Bach Creek.
Hey, Bach
Creek. Man, so many of us in here, I had a bright idea. I said, you know, we should do this thing in D.C., and this would be a good time to do it. We used to say, stand up and give the person on the right and the left of you a big old fat juicy ass hug.
Yeah.
I know y'all gonna make a party out of that. Now some of y'all all the way across the other side of the room. I say, get up, get a friend on the right and have a big old fat hug. And y'all made a party up, but it's all right though. It's all right.
Love you, man.
Yeah, thank you, Joyce. And thank the committee for asking us to come and share our experience, strength, and hope on No Matter What. No Matter What is a hell of a topic, you know what I mean? I think it wasn't me, Joyce. It was had to be the topic that attracted so many people, because it's sort of like a declaration. It's sort of like, you know, if you've been in this process for a while, and your story is, you know, anything like most of ours, it's a good chance, you know, you don't want to go back there. You know, and that certainly is the case with me, because active addiction started long. Well, I would like to say it started when I picked up the first time. But there were some things that happened that I didn't get a chance to reflect on until I got to Narcotics Anonymous, you know. How to be dishonest with the way I felt. You know, it was not something that happened after I started using drugs. You know, I can remember mom and my father drank. Don't get it twisted. He was a provider, too. I had 6 siblings. At the time, it was only 4 of us. I can remember mom and daddy having one of their routine fights, because his M.O. was either he going to fight or he going to fall out, right? You know, so you know, one particular incident that rings really true and has lasted, and I've come to understand it since, is that they got in a scuffle in the bathroom when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and he got my mother over into the bathtub and was holding her down and turned the water on, and to a 5 and 6 year old child, it appears my father is about to drown my mother, right? And it turned out it was a regular dysfunctional thing. They got over it. You know, my mother was pretty tough anyway. You know what I mean? She could hold it. It was drama, you know. And but the thing is, when I went to school the next day, or I got up and went out into the courtyard, people say, you know, Barry, how you doing? I say, you know, I'm lying. I'm fine. I'm okay, you know. But I had some unresolved hurt going on, right? I had some pain going on. You know, and I grew up in a time where what happens in the home stays in the home, you know, we keep it in there, you know. And so, you know, like I say, when me and Junebug, my little buddy, we was sitting out there on the bench, you know, we had the concrete benches and we was playing with caps, you know. Some of y'all know little red strips of cap. So we ain't had no gun. You know, we had a hammer. You know, right? So Junebug, he popped all his, you know. But when it was my turn to pop the caps, Junebug kept pulling them out the way, and I'm hitting the bench. I wasn't getting no pow, you know. Yeah. So, you know, somewhere within me, some unresolved anger caused me to pop Junebug in the head with the hammer. I popped his cap. You know. Shit, funny now. It wasn't funny then. I think my ass got grounded for like 3 weeks with that shit. You know what I'm saying? But just to say, those issues that resulted, you know, and then, you know, along the way, some things develop in us, you know, we learn. Our Narcotics Anonymous gives us such a wonderful opportunity to, you know, to learn about ourselves, you know, because that is the journey, to have an examined life, you know, and to try to discover. You know, we were reading the readings, you know, sister, you really read that thing, you know, good Lord, you know, but, you know, because we get to a point, particularly at bottom, you know, there's that question, you know. That question is, what the fuck happened? You know, and Sterling says, you know, we ought to have a reading called, What the Fuck Happened? Will someone please read? what the fuck happened? You know. But, you know, so, I mean, you know, I'm from that era, y'all, you know, to say, you know, just to say that I'm 62 years old, man. You know, you may have some idea for an addict like me what it is to say something like that. You know, because we used to say, boy, you won't be dead before you get to be 21, stuff like that. You know, they had bets and stuff, you know what I mean? But that journey, you know, that journey into active addiction, it didn't start out horrific. It didn't start out, you know, a terrifying, you know, a hopeless dilemma. It didn't end like that. You know, it started out what I thought was fun. And it started out without information as a youngster, you know. 14 years old, dope was a dollar. Somebody said, man, look, try this. I'm game, Chicky Bame. I'm a toy, I'm a toy. I'm made to play with. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you know, I tried it, you know. You know, I couldn't identify no whole lot of different deep-seated issues going on with me. I was having fun, you know. And I tried it, and naturally, no Surgeon General warning. This doogie here is going to cause you to do some shit. You have no idea what you're about to do, you know. You know, I might as well say, doogie, I just want you to fuck my whole life up. You know, because that's what it proceeded to do, you know what I'm saying? And that's when it began, you know, that's when it, and then at some point, you know, like that line that, you know, that, you know, that, see that line, that your secret line that you cross when you're no longer into social recreational use, you know, it's a job, you know, and, you know, my time, man, you know, and I'm just describing a lot of the reasons, y'all, that no matter what, I don't want to go back to that shit. I don't give a fuck. Well, come down the pipe. You know what I'm saying? And because when y'all got clean, it wasn't no guarantees that life wasn't going to continue to do life. Life was going to be there, you know? I'm saying the journey was so long because I was locked and loaded, had so many ideas of how I could solve my problem. Right? If I could just get a kilo. You know? You know? If I could just get the right woman. You know? The right job, you know. Maybe I'll move to California. You know what I'm saying? But you know, none of that happened, man. I mean, it's some crazy shit, man. Shit funny, man. But I remember one time, man, I got PCP poisoning. I don't know. They call it Love Boat and all the shit in there. And my ass was over DC General, you know. And if you come down the next day, the psychiatrist is going to ask you, they ask you these questions to see if you're competent for release. Right? So I had come down just enough to answer those questions. And they let me go. Right? And so I called my mother and told her that I had been released. And my buddy called my mother and said, Mr. McKissick, you know, Bach Reed's been released. But when my mother called my sister, she didn't say he's been released. She said, he's loose. that's a hell of a way to describe your child. You know what I'm saying? I got unchained from the fence or something. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just saying. And, So really now, you know, Daddy drank, and a beautiful thing happened to him, you know, the last 4 years of his life. You know, his job gave him an ultimatum. You either go and get you some help, you know, or you're going to lose your job. Federal government would prefer you get some help than have to train somebody for your job, you know. So he did that. But I saw the change. My sisters, they saw the change in our father, you know, because he went to the other fellowship and got sober. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and like I said, during that time, my first wife committed suicide, right? And, you know, that was one of those things that, you know, I was in active addiction. I didn't know how to process and, you know, some of the things that happened, right? I'm describing some things that happened. And then in 87, I caught a charge doing what we do, and I was told to go to a methadone program. And that part of the requirement of the methadone program is that you go to NA meetings. And if I was looking at Fonzo and Vic and them, they remember those days, because I would go to the meeting and they would suggest, Bakri, please don't share while you're drinking that meth. And I would share anyway. I'm like, Joyce, who they think they talking to? Shit. Furthermore, they, you know, because I used to be in the meth line solving the problems of the world. I be talking about polychlorinated biphenyls in the memory. You know, what the hell is that shit? You know what I'm saying? You know. So you know, here's what happened. The meth went away, y'all. I was hearing y'all was cutting through the meth with the message, right? The message is hope, right? The promise is freedom, that an addict, any addict can stop using. Any addict. And lose the desire to use and find a new way to live, right? You know, but I was drinking meth and I was going to meetings, I was drinking, and you know, and then it was went away, and y'all, I got 4 years clean, from 88 to 92, right? And then you know, but First Step talk about social acceptability does not equal recovery. I came down here, man, y'all, look, I'm looking at y'all now, boy, y'all look good,
that's right?
But y'all looking good is the result of something.
Yeah.
It's the result of your hard-ass work.
Right. Yeah.
You've been putting some work in. You've been doing some things. Life been hitting you. Yeah. You mean, diagnosis, you know, losing children, losing significant others. Things been happening, right? And I'm saying, so I got caught up. You know, I'm happy. You know, I was making all the NA functions. All the go-go's, all the picnics. I was dropping names about who I was associated with. And I ain't missed near one NA photograph. The go-go pose, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, but I missed the boat. Yeah. Y'all saying this, y'all said it, I heard it. No, I had to have heard it. The same addict we use again.
Yeah.
Right? That shot right over my head, you know? I'm like, y'all said nothing changes?
Nothing changes,
right? You know, so the youngin' stepped to me. Because I was looking respectable and acting responsible. Looked like he just maybe might be able to handle some money, some things for us, some business, some money or whatever. And you know, the disease is insidious.
Yeah.
And probably the first time I did a favor for the young hustlers that I used to rob and set up and all that stuff, they were saying, the disease was saying, I got this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Because it was slow. And I'm slipping away from y'all. I'm going to meetings, right? I'm talking clean, but I'm living dirty, right? Sad state of affairs. Children, please do not try this at home. And you know, so one thing to another, you know, man, get these tags, man. You know, help me get this problem, man. Can you help me count this money? Oh, ego really went on swole. They have asked me to help count some money. You know, and then it was, man, can you move this joint from one place to another? So I'm going to meetings now and start hustling in Narcotics Anonymous. So most of y'all already know it wasn't a matter if, it was just a matter when. Because y'all already know a monkey can't sell no bananas. So it happened, man. Money, property, and prestige. I got seriously diverted. I had a crazy run for 7 years. Had a whole lot of money when I took that blow. In October 92. I never forget that. I'm talking about now, I'm at really no matter what. Right? I'm saying shit gonna happen. Right? Bring your ass in here and tell somebody what happened. Because my defects wouldn't let me get back. Know-it-all-ism. Big shot-ism. You know, fueled by low self-esteem, low self-worth. I need strokes. I need somebody to say some nice shit about me. You know, I want to be Mr. Philanthropist or some shit. You know, shit like that. You know, need my ego work, right? But then I come into a process where humility is the key, right? We understand our humanness at the same time. One thing about Narcotics Anonymous, ain't nobody no better than nobody else up in this camp, right? And as soon as I can surrender to that, it makes my life more peaceful, right? You know. And so, I took that ass with me, that Timberland, up close and personal, state-of-the-art ass with me for the next 7 years. And the disease of addiction is a disease of delusion. it will tell you that you're something that you're not. And by this time, right before I came in, it told me that I was a pharmacist. But I've never been to school for that shit. But I've learned how to write scripts. You know, and God worked through judges and police. And the Fairfax County Police said, we're going to show you what happened to the last pharmacist that was here. I thought it was the worst day of my life, right? It turns out it was the best day of my life. Even though I had to lay in that RSL and kick dope, coke, meth, pills, and cigarettes, and Seagram's gin, right? I had the goddamn zoo on my back, you know? And I'm saying, you know, but when I was leaving that jail, y'all, I had that thing that hit you. It probably didn't hit a lot of y'all, you know, when you had enough. It's something about being tired, man. You know, when you just can't take no more. And I said those words. I don't even know if I said it out of my mouth, but I knew it was in my heart. I said, God, please help me. Right? And because I didn't want to live it. And certain fundamental things happened. That was May 2000, you know? And I haven't had the found it necessarily to look back since. You know? I called my sister and I told her I'm about to come home. She said, damn, you about to come home already? you know how you when you're toxic, you know what I mean? You know, you're first getting clean, your emotions are coming back, things start feeling, you know, you start thinking this shit, you know. And I'm over there in Fairfax Jail watching the Wedding Story and the Baby Story, you know, all this old with hardened criminals, I'm watching shit. But something was going on inside me. I was starting to feel again. You know, the courtship and the woo and the, you know, the proposal in a marriage and a baby being born. You know, how joyous, that's a true life joy, a true life treasure when we experience those things. But I feel like I was robbed of it a lot of times because of active addiction. I ain't never really understood graduation because I ain't graduated from high school, right? I got a GED, a good enough diploma. You know, and I went to college. You know, as long as they was giving me that stipend. But I'm just saying, you know, the journey, y'all, you know, because things have happened, you know, the miracle of recovery took place right out of jail. But now I want to talk a little bit about the treasure, like George was talking about, the treasure of what I don't want to give up, right? And how much has it meant to my life, you know? And not just mine. If you think I love Narcotics Anonymous, you need to ask my family how much, not just Greg, my brother, they really love Narcotics Anonymous, you know? And so, you know, I went to a place because they found a place for me, and they you teach people how to treat you, and they never told me where I was going. And then Tuesday morning came around for intake. They said, not doing intake Tuesday. They said, we're going. I said, where are we going? I'm thinking I'm going to some big-time treatment center. And they said, we're going up here to Salvation Army. We're going to make a donation, and the donation is your ass. And, you know, I'm just saying, but that weekend, the second day I treated that second step showed up for me. Because I run into a guy, my lifetime friend. I had 2 years when he, you know, stick with me. I had 2 years when he came in the program. Now he got 10 years, and I got 90 days. My day changed, his didn't. Right? And he's been my sponsor ever since. So I got some hope, a vision beyond my present circumstances. You know, let me get to that. I mean, look, I'm going, but let me get to the right now stuff, right? This time last year, I was down here in Ocean City at the convention, and I had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Now, I didn't want to tell anybody when I first got diagnosed in February, because I had never encountered anything like that for me, right? So I'm kind of lost, but I'm fucked up. You know, you get that information, the doctor looking at the thing, and he say, man, it's cancer. You know, I started planning my funeral right there. I was writing down the songs I want y'all to sing, you know, the jokes I want y'all to tell, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. That's how I go as an addict, right? I go all the way, right? But I'm saying, you know, so I told two people I had to get a biopsy. Right? I'm talking about, man, things that I would have been used to. My ultimate cure was a speedball. Speedball. I don't care what you say wrong with me. My liver hanging out. Give me a shot of Coke and Dope. You know what I'm saying? You know. But now, the process has afforded me a job where I got insurance. And, you know, and I make all my appointments, you know, on time. You know, unless some unforeseen thing crops up, right? And so he told me that. And so I was really in a place. But one of the first things that occurred to me is, you know, my life is so good. You know, I don't want to be treated differently. I don't want y'all to say poor baby. Because that's part of my story, too. As a youngster, I got babies a lot. You know, you some kid, shit. Then it turned out, you so bad. And then it was, where's that motherfucker at? You know, father's story too. But anyway, you know the first question I had for the doctor, right? What's going to happen to my sex life? Well, he didn't have the best answer. But y'all had taught me to accept truthful answers. And his answer was, very slow talking, old man. Well, trust me. Nothing we do is going to make it any better. God damn, thanks for sharing, Doc. You know what I'm saying? I thought I could take an honest hit, you know, like shit. You know? So I'm here and I'm talking about erectile dysfunction. You know, because I started out back in the day, you know, we used to think that the heroin was a sexual enhancement drug. Until we said, the hell with the sex, give me the dope. You know, I'm just talking about, man, going through that process. I elected to have the prostatectomy and did the robotic surgery and all that stuff with you all's support. You know what I'm saying? Anybody don't know what erectile dysfunction is? I never thought I could have so much fun clean, man. You know. I've been in service, right? So that's one thing. Now, in 07, I got a phone call from a mutual friend saying that she had been in touch with another mutual friend. Was one of my girlfriends and, you know, mama baby from active addiction. Hadn't seen her in like 7 years or something. We had a child in common, right? Addiction got so bad, she had to put the baby up for adoption. You know, and she thought I was going to be furious and, you know, want to go kill somebody or something like that. But I had changed, right? And I had to receive that information from her, you know, and she was clean. Right, and then those things, and you know, like I said, I thought the last time I went to jail was 2000, but you know, thinking I had it under control, and I told you all about Junebug and the cats. Well, I seem to have gotten put right back in that same situation, you know, with 11 years clean, you know, in the Safeway. Me and Liz got in a fight, and I got locked up. I hit the side of the head, you know, because she kirked out on me, and I felt trapped, and I didn't know what to do, to snap out of it. And that snap out of it got me some handcuffs. I'm talking about 11 years clean. Yeah. This program told me, boy, you don't put your hand on no woman. Ain't nothing I'm proud of. Ashamed of it, right? But then in 14, I get another call from the same friend that tell me that Liz is dead. Wow. You know? You found her in her apartment, man. You know? And it's one of those things with those rough details. But I had learned surrender. You know, wanted to go there and try to find out a whole lot of stuff and do a whole lot of stuff, and I just couldn't, you know. But I was blessed to have a good network, a good home group. Joyce, we the same home group. A lot of home group members are here, you know, and this is such a great occasion because I see so many faces in here, you know, that I know from back in the day. Oh, Brenda, Brenda used to be in that meth line with me. And the friends I've met since I've been here. I don't know how much time I got, but I need to go here because I'm one person that loves the liturgy. And for that, I will not apologize, right? In 11, it talks about, on page 112, it says that we see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives. We can be content, we can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner. Who knew? With or without the approval of others. Damn, there goes my antidote to my low self-esteem, right? Yeah. We begin to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity. I didn't care about it until I got a taste of it. What it was to be respectable and responsible, and my family could depend on me again, you know? To love ourselves and others, to laugh, and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. Y'all say it all the time, sky is the limit. The only limitations are what? The ones you put on yourself. Huh? They are in fact the very essence of God's will for us, you know. And this is a process, y'all. It's not an event, you know. There's still some issues. I still have some longings, you know, that hopefully I can get to see my daughter that got put up for adoption. And then that maybe I can, the only thing I can do now, because it was a closed adoption, right, is to continue to do what y'all showed me to do, right, and try to be the best father that I possibly could be if in fact she does come in contact with me. So Chan, I would love to be in love again, right, but I think I got a lot of work to do, right. I surrendered to the fact that it could happen or it may not happen, but I still decided I'm going to be happy, joyous, and free. And it's funny, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know, some of y'all from the old school, I'm going to kind of shut it down. You know, I was looking at the banners last night in the main speaker meeting, and the first one I came to was 01. And I walked in this workshop, you know, because I was a player and I only had three teeth, two. You know, y'all told me keep coming back, and the dentist told me keep coming back. And, you know, I walked in this workshop and I sat down beside somebody who became Pauline's right there, right? And she had like 19 years now. She got like 50 now, something like that. But, you know, I thought I was making time. So I'm just relating to you that, look, is an old song they used to say, things just ain't the same anytime the hunter gets captured by the game. Because we are still friends, I mean very close, intimate friends, and ain't no hanky-panky, right? But she has taught me how to respect women, right? There have been times when I've had to confide and get information about a lot of them in my home group. Kim, all of y'all, you know, y'all have grown me up, okay? And last but not least, y'all, I just need to say that I love, look, that meeting Friday night, Thursday night, we went today, everybody was talking about how much they love Narcotics Anonymous. And we love this place, right? So I'm going to end with this joke. Or this sort of a parable, right? Yeah, and, it, you know, for the lack of better description, NA police might get me for that one. But anyway, it was hot as hell in the middle of July. And there was this big-ass pool party. And they had a band, and they had a disc jockey. And all these pretty women was walking around in these thongs and things, and it was beautiful. But was nobody in the damn swimming pool. So the man was kind of, you know, you get clean, you get kind of crazy sometimes, you know. He had a $3,000 reward for anybody that could swim across the pool without getting eaten by the sharks, electric eels, anything in the water that would eat you, he had it in that pool. So everybody said, hell no. And the party went on. As the party went on, somebody, we heard something say, splash! And we heard, man, dude had swam across the pool. And everybody ran over to him and they pulled him up out of there. And they said, man, you just won $3,000. He said, he couldn't catch a breath. He said, never mind them $3,000. Just show me the motherfucker that pushed me in the pool. So no matter what, how you got here, keep coming back. Thank you, Mr.